Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is Halloween, and we take that very seriously here on Thunderdome Metal Reviews. And so we are here to talk about a metal album, which we do all the time.
I'm Ben. Every time.
Every time.
All the time.
And most of the time.
I'm Ben. With me are David, Tracy, and Gabe. You've heard their voices. You know them. You love them most of the time. We are Thunderdome Metal Reviews. We've been doing a spooktacular, as is our wont. And this year's spectacular, much to David's chagrin, has been King Diamond. Well, this is the last one that we're going to talk about, probably for a while. And it is the fifth studio album, The Eye. Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
The meetings.
Doing good. David, the meetings are continuing to morale improves. You just fake one, just like, it's an A+. I'm done. We'd be over.
But nope. If we had another 5 or 6 of these, I would kill someone. It would be bad.
Sounds like someone's going insane.
Indeed it does. So this is their fifth studio album, released ironically and unintentionally on October 30th, 1990, on Roadrunner Records. Recorded in Sweet Silence Studios. Runtime of 43 minutes and 53 seconds. Produced by King Diamond, Roberto Falco, and Andy LaRocque. The band: King Diamond on vocals and keyboards, Sandy LaRocque on guitars, Peter Block on guitars, Hal Patino on bass, and Snowy Shaw on drums.
My boy Snowy.
Yep.
Yeah. It's 1990, y'all. New decade.
It is. New and year. I would say that this one, there was some talk when we reviewed the first of the spooktacular. I think this one is the most musically diverse of the albums that we covered.
Agreed. I figured you were going to say this one. I agree, yeah. I think it works okay, actually. I found some of the experimentation or deviation from the formula pleasant. There's a certain atmospheric quality in some of these songs that I think was better than certainly the last one we just talked about.
Sure. I also think that he was restrained, and I think
I agree.
Part of the reason for that, and this is me projecting, I don't know, I haven't read anything, but I think it's because this is based on actual historic events as opposed to just him making up a fucking story.
It's interesting that you say that it made him more restrained or made the compositions or the experience or like the whatever more restrained. I think that the fact that this is based on some true facts, I think that's actually a weakness. Mm. It makes it a weakness for, you know, for his purposes. Sure. I think that the fantasy and sort of like the, you know, unreal, just like total craziness of some of the other records, it really just draws you in and you're just like, wow, this is just really weird and I'm not even able to wrap my mind around it. whereas this, it's like, you know, in some of the songs he's saying, this person was crazy, this person was insane. It's like, you don't need to say that because the events like speak for themselves, or like, I don't know, your dramatization of these, you know, historical events should speak for itself. Right. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Well, that goes back to your earlier comment though, about opera and the operatic elements that he's playing with and how it is kind of a blunt hammer hitting you on the head. And this album, unlike some of the other ones, he doesn't have a protagonist point of view. He's kind of taking a outside narrator point of view to tell the story.
But at the same time too, I think when he's going through like these fictional scenarios, mm-hmm. right, you know that they're weird. Like you can tell that sure. they're, and like, just truth is stranger than fiction, man. It's like he never read a history book before, you know, like seriously. Yeah, sure. I mean, David, you should like this the best, obviously, because you're the primary source guy. So like,
I will concede I preferred it to some of the more ludicrous shit, but still, see? He's singing it. Like the issue.
Yeah,
is...
but I'm just saying like the concept should appeal to you more.
Yeah.
In theory.
I mean, I'm not a historian of the 17th century, but yes, I would prefer this Sabaton approach. we're gonna source it. We're going to persecute it. But I mean, even his fictional shit sounds a lot like this. So I don't know.
Does it though?
Kind of.
A little. I would. Sabaton is an interesting thing because Sabaton likes to pretend that they don't that they are much truer to the historical record than I think King Diamond was trying to be here. But yet they also like are kind of whacking off to the glory of war in a way that is problematic.
Indeed.
Which I didn't feel that King Diamond was doing.
No, I don't think like, so.
The trauma here.
Oh, I think his personal politics and a lot of his ideas and his passion, like how seriously he takes his art, I mean, all that is really impressive and cool. It's just when I listen to his voice for hours and hours and hours, I need an ice pick.
Yeah.
That's where we're at, I'd say. Maybe I'll feel different later. Maybe when Tracy's like, oh, I decided a blast of the other four more King Diamond albums we haven't done yet. He's thinking about it. I can see him looking at the spreadsheet right now. Damn it, Tracy. I mean, whatever the Converge blast that Gabe hits us with, it'll be like Converge 1 week and then yours is the next week.
We only have six to have done the entire discography.
Shit, dude.
We'll do another Spooktober and just to
finish it.
Yeah.
I endured this. I could endure that.
But not if Gabe bleeds off with the Converge blast before it.
My defenses will be too weakened.
just... Oh no, I'm dying.
A 1-2 punch, as you like to say.
Then we got to bring in the most slow.
Oh man, stop.
I have discovered some Canadian sludge that will be coming into a blast next year. Don't worry.
We just slide all together. David's like, I'm done.
Just throw the metronome away. It's too slow to even have a beat. Great. Can't wait. Can't wait, you guys.
We know. But back to the eye.
The eye.
I kind of see why they chose to go with more realistic characters, but then they also kind of go like, hey, we're like, because, like, they used real-life characters, but they didn't actually use, like, the real-life story from the characters, right? Or is it actual...
Oh, who knows? Does anything mean anything?
A little bit like a Blair Witch, like, the true events happened.
Well, yeah, it's definitely, like, qualifies as this was based on a true story.
This is historical fiction.
I have not read the, like... hold on a second, and this is
I'm sure it's no more no less accurate than the Cradle of Filth Gilda Ray album.
Yes, exactly,
right? It is exactly as accurate, yes, as that, Tracy.
These people existed, they died in roughly the ways that they're describing here.
Beyond that it's very sketchy. Who the fuck knows,
right? But
13th century shit was whack, Tracy, write that down.
Yeah.
We haven't done any Cradle of Filth, have we? Not that I'm advocating it.
Have we done a Cradle of Filth?
I don't think so.
That might be what we should do for the Spooktacular next year.
He's not wrong in terms of their importance.
I feel like that'd be my soul crushing event. It's crazy.
Well, it's your turn.
If it's spooky scary, it's fair game.
He switched what Gabe said. Spooky scary. Is it spooky scary? That's the only litmus test.
The bar is very low. Is it spooky scary or is it not?
That kind of is the thing for the Spooktacular. We're running out of spooky scary.
No other metric. No other metric.
I don't think we're running out. I think we just got to get creative.
Well, I mean, we could do Ice Nine Kills or something, I suppose. But anyway.
Behemoth.
Ooh, I would like that.
Fucking Behemoth. Yeah, see, that's the thing. If we just redefine even just slightly, we could come up with some pretty or righteous ghost shit. Fucking Ghost. You would.
Yeah.
It would be so
you
much
enjoy good that too much. Too.
Nah, son.
Nah, man.
That would be Gabe's turn in the barrel as we could go.
Yeah, each of us would die in turn. This would rotate. It was the Chamber of Horrors that is the Spooktober.
The other thing is, like, the eye, like, that necklace that's part of this whole thing, obviously not historical.
Yeah, but that's not part of the record, I'm pretty sure.
It's not part of the French Inquisition, as far as I remember. But yeah, so it's not a totally historical fiction endeavor, but I still think it's like, I don't know, it's not the same thing as creating a concept, right?
It is not. I will grant that. But I mean, it's like there is an entire genre of historical fiction that does exactly this.
100%. They sell more of that than what I do.
He seems super into, as well, like, the priests getting in on whatever, like, nasty business that needs doing. Like, you know, on the other album, there's, like, a priest involved in, like, burning King alive. And then,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, well, yeah. I wonder if that's just, you know, being from Denmark. I don't know.
I think it is. I think that's him just like, you know what?
Well, he's a Satanist, Church. Man.
He is a Satanist.
He's a literal Satanist. Not like a metaphorical 80s moral panic Satanist.
He brings receipts. That's what that is.
He does bring receipts for his love of Satan.
The real deal Holyfield is.
Real deal Holyfield. It's got a Glockenspiel, so we have a deal. That's what I'm saying. In terms of his love of Satan, it is the real indeed. Glockenspiel.
Indeed. Word.
Word indeed.
But anyway, I like, this is not my favorite King Diamond album at all. But I think that this one is probably the best one that we did this time.
Yeah, I'll probably agree with you there. Like, this thing has everything where it should be the best, but it just, it kind of just misses that, I'm going to say, it factor in it. That just kind of like, I found other albums that we've done tonight much more more attractive than this one.
Interesting.
Well, not much. That's a long push, but more, essentially.
I think what saves it really for me is the music, because I think you're right, Ben. It does kind of branch out a bit. And while I don't think that the sort of narrative parts of it are all that compelling, I think the music is more compelling than some of the other ones.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. Tracks?
Sure.
Take the ride. Just take the ride. But for me, I pulled off, get my list pulled up, Burn, Father Picard, Into the Covenant. A little run there. Two Little Girls is just nothing, nuisance, just noise.
Well, it's all kind of noise. I would also say Take the Ride. The ones that I would pick out. The first three tracks, I do. Two Little Girls is probably the weakest track on the album, in my opinion, except for maybe the instrumental. Then 1642, Imprisonment, and The Curse are pretty awesome, too.
I don't have a lot to add. Yeah, chuck the instrumental. I do like that run at the beginning, and then I like, as you all mentioned, Into the Covenant, Father Picard, Behind These Walls. I don't know, it just seems to gel a little better. I like the music on this album. This is the third best of the ones we did tonight.
Yeah, I don't have too much to add here. I'd say just shout out The Meetings, and I actually kind of like that instrumental.
You would.
Yeah. I honestly don't think the album ends in a particularly strong way, but
that's true.
I think that's just me.
At least it's only 44 minutes.
That's true.
Right. If this were an hour and five, like that damn.
What's awesome album. Though is like Abigail is 40 minutes. Like they pack all of that stuff into 40 minutes. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Abigail, again, by far my favorite King Diamond album. But I guess we're degrading this one. And I'm going to give this a higher grade than what I gave Abigail or them, which I also really like. I'm going to give this an A minus, a 90, because I do think that because it is. So stylistic, and I'm not so stylistic because it's not like he went super far outside his comfort zone, but this is different than the others in a way that I, and you know, also being a historian, I appreciate the use of real cases. So I'll give it an A minus.
I'm going to give this my third highest grade of the bunch and put this at a 78. I appreciated that there was a little bit of musical variation that seemed to carry it. I like the history too. So 78.
This is the middle of the pack album for me tonight. I'm gonna give it an 86, a B.
Yeah, this is sort of further down on the list for me of the ones that we listened to tonight. But that said, it's still not bad. This is an 84. And sort of I've ranked all of these based on, you know, what I would prefer to listen to, not necessarily like, I don't know, this is like objectively the best one or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah, it's in the middle of the pack of the ones that I would want to listen to, I would say, because, yeah, actually right in the middle, because I would probably prefer to listen to them and maybe Abigail 2, and then this, and then Conspiracy, and then Fatal Portrait.
Co-sign. in that exact order.
I don't know what my list would be for sure off the top of my head, but
you would put them in the order they were released chronologically and then index them and
just made my the entire way through. Just here we go.
It's a blast of 12 albums, guys.
12 hour long albums.
It's a Tracy blast.
The T blast.
It's like a Baja blast, but Sonic.
Extra refreshing.
Tracy does love him some Baja Blast.
So I know he does. The hot toxic winds of Mexican California. Brought to you by Bob Hornsby.
Yeah.
Don Hornsby. Bob Hornsby.
Bob's his brother.
His brother who hangs around.
He's the road manager.
He's the road manager. Bob and Don Hornsby. Fucking Hornsby brothers. Chokehold in the industry, guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, we did it. And King Diamond did not have to teleport into David's room.
He didn't. Oh. I'm not buying it, though.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. Actually, I would buy this one. What am I saying?
No.
Yeah, I might could buy this.
I don't think I would. And our average was 85. So, yeah. Okay.
I'd ask you what we're doing next, but this is the end of the Spooktacular, and we obviously haven't decided what the next one is.
Well, actually, we have.
Oh, yeah.
Ben has picked his pick for September. It is Brugeria's new album.
It is not Gojira, I assure you.
I said Brugeria.
Brujeria.
Brujeria.
Esto es Brujeria.
Close enough.
I mean, that's about the best you're ever made.
Brugeria is a Brujeria cover band from France that includes two of the members of Gojira.
That I might would listen to.
Pito Wilson. Yeah, it's
what is know. That French band that Gabe made us listen to that performed with their backs to the crowd? That they're the other half of the band.
Yes,
they're not French. They're Belgian.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Who was that? Amin-Ra.
And it's only the singer that performs with his back to the crowd, but yeah, it's
sign of respect.
Sometimes.
It's a sign of respect.
In yes. Some countries.
Just to your audience.
When you go to the Church of Raw, that's what you get.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. So, we got a lot of Brujeria coming up. So, hopefully, it'll be a ride enjoyed by most of you.
Oh, I'm already on the ride.
That's probably the ride I'm going to get drugged behind.
I'm an original adopter.
Yeah, it's probably a little too death metally for you, Tracy. But we'll see.
I mean, I listened to Fear Factory while visiting people in L.A. You know what happens. You know what went on in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking POD. What a disaster. Anyway, it's all coming together on Thunderdome Metal Reviews.
Oh, God.